The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Seneca's letter number 3. The title of the letter is On True and False Friendship. And as I stated in the past, what we're going to do is the first time we read the letter, we're going to read the entire thing. And then when we focus on specific excerpts, we'll just focus on those lines because there's a benefit of hearing the entire letter as one entity. So Seneca writes, you have sent a letter to me through the hand of a quote-unquote friend of yours, as you call him. And in your very next sentence, you warn me not to discuss with him all the matters that concern you, saying that even you yourself are not accustomed to do this. In other words, you have in the same letter affirmed and denied that he is your friend. Now, if you used this word of ours in the popular sense and called him friend in the same way in which we speak of all candidates for election as honorable gentlemen, and as we greet all men whom we meet casually, if their names slip us for the moment, with the salutation, my dear sir, so be it. But if you consider any man a friend whom you do not trust as you trust yourself, you are mightily mistaken, and you do not sufficiently understand what true friendship means. Indeed, I would have you discuss everything with a friend, but first of all, discuss the man himself. When friendship is settled, you must trust. Before friendship is formed, you must pass judgment. Those persons indeed put last first and confound their duties, who, violating the rules of Theophrastus, judge a man after they have made him their friend, instead of making him their friend after they have judged him. Ponder for a long time whether you shall admit a given person to your friendship. But when you have decided to admit him, welcome him with all your heart and soul. Speak as boldly with him as with yourself. As to yourself, although you should live in such a way that you trust your own self with nothing which you could not entrust even to your enemy, yet since certain matters occur which convention keeps secret, you should share with a friend at least all your worries and reflections. Regard him as loyal, and you will make him loyal. Some, for example, fearing to be deceived, have taught men to deceive. By their suspicions, they have given their friend the right to do wrong. Why need I keep back any words in the presence of my friend? Why should I not regard myself as alone when in his company? There's a class of men who communicate to anyone whom they meet matters which should be revealed to friends alone and unload upon the chance listener whatever irks them. Others, again, fear to confide in their closest intimates, and if it were possible, they would not trust even themselves, burying their secrets deep in their hearts. But we should do neither. It is equally faulty to trust everyone and to trust no one. Yet the former fault is, I should say, the more ingenuous, the latter the more safe. In like manner, you should rebuke these two kinds of men, both those who always lack repose and those who are always in repose. For love of bustle is not industry. It is only the restlessness of a hunted mind. And true repose does not consist in condemning all motion as merely vexation. That kind of repose is slackness and inertia. Therefore, you should note the following saying, taken from my reading in Pomponius: some men shrink into dark corners to such a degree that they see darkly by day. No. Men should combine these tendencies, and he who reposes should act, and he who acts should take repose. Discuss the problem with nature. She will tell you that she has created both day and night. Farewell. Okay, so I think it's pretty clear what Seneca's view of a true friend is. Basically, someone who you can completely trust and confide in and tell everything to without any sort of fear. So what I wanted to discuss in this first episode on this letter is I wanted to compare Seneca's definition of friendship, which is binary. Either, it's a true friend or it's just, an acquaintance or not a true friend. And the Rambam's classification of friends, which really is three or four categories, depending on how you count it. So the Rambam talks about this in his commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Kaneh lecha chaver," you should acquire a friend for yourself, which I believe is in the first chapter, Mishnah number 5. Okay, I'll double check that in a second. I'll double check that later. So the Rambam writes there, and I'm pretty sure this is based on Aristotle in Nicomachean Ethics. He says that there are three types of friendship. The first category is what he calls a friendship of utility. The second is a friendship of enjoyment. And the third is a friendship for the good, or a friendship for the higher purpose. A friendship of utility basically is a relationship that exists on the basis of some tangible exchange of goods. Okay, so the Rambam gives the example of like two business partners. or the friendship between a general and his soldiers in an army. The example I like to give is, friendship that most people have with their, I guess, with their barber. You know, like I had a great barber for a very long time named Sal, and the only time I ever saw him or spoke to him was when I was getting my haircut, and we chatted. You know, there were certain topics we would talk about. Got to know each other over the years, but absolutely no relationship outside of the context of cutting hair, right? As soon as he retired, there goes the friendship. And if I didn't get my haircut from him, if I didn't pay him, then there'd be no friendship there. So that's a friendship of utility. Second friendship is the friendship of enjoyment, which the Rambam divides into two categories: the friendship of pleasure and the friendship of security. Now, both of these, what they have in common is that the friendship is built on the fact that both friends enjoy derive some sort of enjoyment from each other. So friendship of pleasure, I think, is where most of our of what we call friends fall into, when you speak of just, having friends, which is that there's some sort of enjoyment you get from being with them, whether it's their company, their sense of humor, common interests, doing activities together. And if those factors change to the point where you didn't get enjoyment, then you would not be friends with them. But then we get to friendship of security, which the Rambam does classify as a type of friendship of enjoyment. But let me read to you his description here, my translation here. A friendship of security is when a person has a friend on whom he can rely without withholding anything from him, neither deed nor word. He reveals to him all his matters, both good and bad, without worrying that he will shame him, either in private or in public. When a person is able to trust a friend to this extent, he will derive tremendous satisfaction from his conversation and his company. So this really sounds like the level of friendship that Seneca is talking about, right? Where you can share everything with your friend and tell him all your worries and insecurities and secrets and have complete and total trust to the same degree as you would trust yourself. So that the Rambam has as subdivision two within the second level of friendship. And then the ultimate level of friendship, the Rambam says, is, oh, and by the way, he says that the relationship between a husband and wife are in this category number two. So I guess on the lower end, it's a friendship of pleasure, and on the higher end, it's a relationship of security. But then the highest level of friendship is a friendship for the good, where each of you both are seeking the good with a capital G, are helping each other to attain it. And the Rambam there, as a paradigm, says it's the model of this is the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmid, a teacher and student, and vice versa. But I would also say that the highest level of a marriage would be in this category, a true Ezer Kenegdo, where they're helping each other, both like practically and personally to attain the good for them both. So the reason why I wanted to compare this is I find it really interesting that Seneca only really defines he has this true friendship and not true friendship, and he only really seems to regard as the true friendship the friendship of security. Now, what does that say about the other categories? Well, I know that Seneca definitely holds by the friendship for the good, because this entire series of letters to his student Lucilius just reflects that level of relationship that they truly are. I mean, we don't really see Lucilius's responses, but you kind of get glimmers of them in Seneca's letters, that they're really helping each other to try to attain the good and live the good life. So we know he holds by these two higher levels of friendship. I think he's, I mean, unless he's just being really, really, rhetorically like forceful in the way he's talking to Lucilius, I think he's a little bit. He's setting the bar a little bit too high for friendship. There's nothing wrong with having a friendship for pleasure of the first type, and there's certainly nothing wrong with having a friendship of utility. So I don't think Seneca would deny that those categories exist. I just think that a person's going to have healthier relationships when they think of friendships in the Rambam's, three/four categories than if they just divide everything into either you're a true friend that I can totally trust and tell all my secrets to, or you're not a true friend, like Seneca seems to advocate. So don't know what he meant, but all I have is what he writes here. So those are my initial thoughts on this letter. That is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. The link is in the description. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.